into the 4 o'clock hour / 7 o'clock hour we go. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. I'm here in Boston, and they are back in beautiful, sunny San Diego. Scraby got hit with the die. Worst, or what was it, best story? What was
my most embarrassing drunk moment?
Most embarrassing drunk moment.
I should just preface this with I haven't drank in over 7 years because these drunk moments caught up with me and I needed to stop drinking, so I am on that path. But it's always fun to relive the past, and I have two stories. One I don't remember at all, and one I'm hazy remembering. But the one I don't remember at all was a Thanksgiving at my family's house. And my family likes to knock back wine on Thanksgiving. So I decided to knock back a ton of wine on Thanksgiving. And I went for a swim in the pool. So I needed to change and I needed to do that and get my bathing suit on. So I go outside. There's about 30 people inside looking at me doing this, and I didn't realize that there was a light on, but I was doing that change, you know, when you put the towel around you and you put down your shorts and then you put the other shorts on so that you can just change right there. Well, I was too drunk to realize that the towel had dropped, and so I was full frontal in front of my entire family for about 45 seconds. And the next day, everybody kept asking me why I was so cold last night. And I couldn't figure it out for the life of me.
Shrinkage.
Yeah. Ah, I couldn't figure it out for the life of me. But they still, to this day, bring that up all the time. So that was an incredibly embarrassing moment.
Yeah, that's pretty embarrassing.
And then my grandpa was, like, angry at me, which he should have been angry at me, because then my little nieces or my little cousins were there.
Right. That's not very gentleman of you. You got kids around, and you just over here.
Yeah. Not good.
You know.
Yeah, not good. The other one is
being
total,
free.
Being free. The other one's a total Matt Scraby moment. But before radio, I worked in a business where we would go do conferences, and then every two of the days of the conference, they would have like a happy hour reception after. And I like to get after it at the happy hour reception. This guy who is, you know, he's just standing at a table. I walk up to him. I'm saucy already. And I'm talking to him about someone.
Was this a normal practice for you when you were saucy, just walk up to randos?
Yeah, it was. Okay. Not anymore.
Normal practice.
Not anymore.
Okay.
But I started talking to this guy.
You don't talk to anybody anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I started talking to this guy because it was a producer of this conference. And so I had to deal with this one woman who was one of the worst human beings I've ever met in my life to this day. And he comes, and so I just go off about how horrible this woman is and how she might be the worst person I've ever met in my life. I can't wait to, you know, never talk to her again. She walked up and stood next to him. It was his wife. And
did you tell him who it was?
Did I tell him who it was? Yes, I did. Because she was speaking at the conference, and so I pointed to the program, and I was like, you know this one right here? This one right here, don't even go to her speech because she's terrible.
He was just sitting there like listening to you too.
He didn't cut you off?
For like 3 minutes because he knew she was getting a drink and she was going to be there at any moment. And I almost died in that moment. I got in a lot of trouble for that. I got in a lot of trouble.
I bet you did,
because
buddy,
this person was kind of a big deal in the world of like marketing, and we paid for their hotel, their flights, and everything. And they
she went and told whoever was up the chain on
she
you.
Wanted to she wanted to trash. She went and she trashed me to my bosses, and my bosses turned around and just let me have it. And that
were they still your bosses after?
Yes, they kept me on board, but that was one of the worst moments of my life.
Wowzers.
One of the worst moments. Anyway.
I'm impressed, Scarby.
You're impressed, Scarby?
Scarby.
All right.
That was pretty cringy to listen to, I must say.
I got plenty more where that comes from.
Yeah. Yeah, the next time we roll the dice, you can give your second and third favorite stories. Probably go on for a while.
All right, I think we are in line for some Chris versus the Fan. I haven't been a part of this in a while. And as a matter of fact, I will only be a participant in listening because I don't have the questions or the people in front of me. So, Scraby, I will turn the honors over to you, my friend.
All right.
you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself...
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know Gen 4.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Chris. You've been pretty good lately, I have to say. You've been tearing people up left and
right. I'm probably due for a bad day then.
Okay. Well, we'll see about that. You've been just so good lately. I don't know a bad day's coming, but you have, or I should read the prize first instead of just going on there. You're going to be qualified for a chance to win our grand prize, a two-night stay at Fontainebleau, Las Vegas. Tickets to either Hootie and the Blowfish or Smashing Pumpkins at the Blue Live Theater and $150 poolside dining credit. Summer room packages and tickets are available now at FontainebleauLasVegas.com, and you will win a four-pack of tickets to Field of Dreams in concert on July 19th at the Brady Shell at Jacobs Park. Watch the movie with the Academy Award winning score performed live by the San Diego Symphony Orchestra. Tickets are on sale now at theshell.org. Now let's go to the rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first time player, let us know before the first question and you will get that question for free. Okay.
My bad.
I think I got everything.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. Don't worry, Tony. Let's go to Matt in Lakeside. Hello, Matt.
What's up, guys?
Ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. What part of the field is the Green Monster located at Fenway?
Left field.
Left field is correct.
I don't know. Have you been to...
Me?
No, I'm going to ask Tony. Have you played in Fenway, Tony? Interleague play?
I have.
Okay.
I have. I haven't got to play defense. I was a DH the one game I got to start here in Fenway.
I thought the Green Monster in person was smaller than I expected.
So much smaller than you expected.
I thought it was going to be just towering over the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's big, that. But...
Yeah. Anyway. The whole Fenway Park is smaller than I thought it was. Right. Same with City Field. City Field is tiny, too.
And so are the seats.
Yes,
you got to go on the SD Fat Loss diet if you want to go to a game at Fenway Park.
They
are, to sit
definitely
down.
Made for the petite. That is for sure. Don't have a big rear end because you're not sitting in those seats.
No, you can't.
I hope they have changed the trough situation in the bathroom because troughs should be...
The trough?
Eliminated. You know that like big bathtub that they have
situation,
like in front of dudes. That never mind. All right.
Oh, that's right. They still have the.
Yeah.
You know what? The trough is a disgusting.
It's a disgusting thing.
That's some disgusting work there, there. I tell you.
So gross.
That's what I mean. That's how you know that stadium is old.
Yes.
That is how all the stadiums used to have. What'd you call it, a trough?
Isn't that what it's called, a trough?
I don't know.
I've never asked anybody.
Like, oh, wow.
The bathtub for pee, is that what it's called?
All right, moving on. I'm grossed out.
Yeah, sorry.
Matt.
Sorry, I digress.
All right,
poor Matt. He's just trying to play a game here.
Matt's like, I'm grossed out too now. All right, here we go. Question number two. On Tuesday night, who scored for the Padres when Profar hit his walk-off?
I'm going to go with Jake Cronenworth.
Jake Cronenworth.
Two people scored, didn't they?
Yes.
Just got to guess two people.
You want one more guy? Guess one more guy?
Might as well guess another player.
Arise.
Stay there.
I'm pretty sure Arise did not score because he was walked intentionally, so he was on first base. As far as
what a detective you are.
I know, and Bryce Johnson, I believe, bunted. So it should be the 7 and 8 hitters, Higashioka and Kim.
Wow. Tony's looking at me weird, but it was, I believe it was Kim and Jackson Merrill, wasn't it?
I don't know. You're asking the questions.
Kim scored, Merrill scored, yes.
I think Merrill, what?
ESPN is telling me in the 10th inning, Profar singled to right, Kim scored and Merrill scored. Arise.
Where'd Higashioka go?
Higashioka wasn't even in that game. Oh, Wade hit for Higashioka.
What did
Wade score?
He sacrificed. Remember, he hit that bunt to move everyone over.
He walked.
No, we're not talking about the same game then.
Maybe we aren't. Let me see.
I'm talking Tuesday night, Profar's walk-off, 7-6 in the 10th inning.
Profar's walk-off was Monday night.
I keep doing that.
Yes.
Monday
night. So do you want to go back and make sure you're looking at the right game before you tell me I'm wrong?
No, because Profar's walked off. I mean,
Profar definitely walked off, but Higashioka walked. Or, excuse me, Wade walked.
But I don't know why we're so confused about this. I'm looking at
it. I know why we're confused by it, because you don't know what game you're talking about.
I do know what game I'm talking about. Sorry, Matt. Once again, Matt.
Matt, hold on, Matt. You're not going anywhere yet.
We got to get this right.
I got the bottom of the ninth.
No, it's the bottom of the tenth.
Yes, that's right. Here we are. Bottom of the tenth. Solano doubled to left. Cronenworth, who was the ghost runner, went to third. Kim walked after Merrill singled. So now we have Wade sacrificing. Kim to second, Merrill to third. Two that scored. That's correct.
What happened here.
I confused everyone by saying Tuesday when it was actually Monday. I did that like three times already today.
That's not why I got confused. Who was the ghost runner? It was
Cronenworth was the ghost runner at the beginning and the end.
See?
That's what throws it all.
I'm glad you said this. I got my stuff all.
He's got his scorecard out.
Scorecard. I gotta lasso it and slide it up because I put it in Solano's spot as the ghost runner. That's where it's been. So now it drops everybody down. So
here we go.
I apologize,
all right.
There, player.
Here we go. That's good.
So
Matt,
Wade,
are you still there?
Okay, Matt. Yeah, Matt, you're still alive. You probably went home.
Okay, he's still alive.
Good
Thank
job,
you for
Matt.
Hanging on with us, Matt. Here we go. Question.
I
number
love this show.
Three.
Could you imagine they took like a 10-minute break on Jeopardy to figure out whether they were right or wrong?
I would like that show
so
better.
Bad.
I would like the show better. All right, I'm going to do one of those where I give the names and you give me the team that they played for. And this one is an NFL team. Brandon Cooks and Ndamukong Suh. And Josh Reynolds.
What team Lions. Do they all play for?
The Lions, he says. Hang on, Matt.
You know, I think it's the Rams.
Wow, I'm so sorry, Matt.
Sorry,
After
Matt.
All of
After
that.
All of that, you had to put up with that. I feel bad for you, but thus is life in Chris versus the fans.
Yes, that is unfortunate, but it was the 2018 Rams.
The Rams. Yeah, I don't think Cooks ever played for Detroit, did he? He's played for just about every other team in the league, but not Detroit.
Yeah, he has not played for Detroit. You're right about that one.
Okay.
Let's go to our next contestant, Joey in San Diego. What's up, Joey?
What's going on, guys? I'm ready to go.
All right, here we go.
Let's go, Joey.
How many rounds is the NBA draft?
Oh, I'm just
going to
say eight.
Big NBA fan, that Joey.
Sorry, Joey.
Sorry, Joey.
All right, next contestant.
It's a big NBA fan.
Used to be 10. Because Tony's dad was drafted in, the 10th round by the Clippers, maybe earlier. I don't want to denigrate your dad's
Do you
draft
know Tony
selection.
When your dad was drafted?
I don't remember the date. Yeah. I don't remember the exact round.
Yeah, but he was drafted by the Clippers. We know that.
Our next contestant is a major fan of 97.3 The Fan. Gonzo is on with us right now. Gonzo!
All right, Gonzo, let's go.
How are you
go.
Doing?
Dude, okay. Long time, but a first-time player.
First-time player!
He's passed the first round.
All right, here we go,
yeah,
Gonzo.
He's
sticking up for the entire chat right now. This is a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure on
so
Gonzo.
So much pressure.
All right. There are two Padres tied for having played the most games in all of Major League Baseball this season. Name both players. This is as of today, so.
Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to go with Toddy and. Can I lifeline Tony Gwynn Jr.?
You cannot lifeline Tony Gwynn Jr. Gonzo, I'm sorry. I thought this was a Gonzo question.
Just buzzed him right away.
No, that wasn't right away. I don't think.
Is it Profar and Cronenworth?
Cronenworth.
I could be wrong.
I am.
Wow. So Gonzo's still alive.
Gonzo's still alive.
Who was it?
Kim and Profar.
Oh, Kim and Profar.
Right.
Yes. Wow.
I didn't realize that Hassan Kim has played every.
Well, the reason they've played the most games is because the Padres have played the most games as a team.
True.
Anyway, go ahead.
All right, Gonzo. You get this one right, you are qualified. Here we go. Stu Starling Marte, Jorge Alfaro, Garrett Cooper. Which team did they play on together? The Marlins. Gonzo did it! He did it!
What? Are you kidding me?
He did it! Wow! Wow, Gonzo. It's amazing.
Nice work, Gonzo.
Stay Good there. Job, Gonzo.
Stay there, Gonzo.
And the chat is celebrating wildly.
Well, right before he answered, someone said, just remember, everything is riding on this.
Really?
Yes, I'm the chat is very happy right now. LFGSD is everywhere. Lots of Gonzo celebrations on the chat. This is good stuff.
Good job, Gonzo.
Nice work, Gonzo.
All right. Now you're going to have a bunch of best friends who want you to take him to Las Vegas.
That's a good
Hopefully
point.
He'll win the prize.
Yes.
Very
yes.
cool. That was good. I would have got that one.
You would have.
So,
yeah.
yes, it's good that he came through.
All right.
Very good.
Next up.
Tony, you're back.
All right. That's time for me to take us to break then, isn't it? All right. Let's step away. When we return, I'm not sure what direction we're going.
I wanted to ask you guys about Alex Morgan not making the women's national team.
I don't know. I think we should roll the dice a few more times.
You want to roll the dice a few more times?
I want you to have to answer more questions.
Oh, gosh.
I was about to say, as long as it lands on you and Chris, that's fine by me.
We'll figure it out in the break.
Chris, hello. Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby, 424 is the time. Decided we will put the dice away for another day and allow Scraby to save some of his... His embarrassing questions for another round of Gwynn and Chris FAQ. Maybe next week?
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
the week after. I know next week's a short week because we've got 4th of July coming up. But we will...
You guys are off Friday. I'm not. I am going to be in for the guys on Friday, July 5th.
I'm not in charge of this stuff. But why is July 5th not a day off? What are they doing?
I don't know. I agree with you. I do agree with you. I mean, it's kind of weird.
Everybody's going to take the 4-day weekend, except for you, apparently.
Yeah. Why? Know. Yeah. Why? Why? Yeah.
Because I offered it up. I said, "I'll do it."
That should be an off day.
I'll do it.
That should be an off day. Tony is. Tony's designated it. So come on. That's all you.
It should be. I mean, I'm just saying. It should be. Yeah. It's it's just like New Year's Eve, New Year's Day.
This year, Christmas and New Year's Christmas falls on a Wednesday, and New Year's falls on a Tuesday. Those are some of the worst days
true.
For holidays.
Christmas and New Year's Day are always the same.
Well, okay, yeah, I'm sorry, I meant New Year's Eve. Yes,
thank you.
You're right. I didn't change calendars, Chris.
It sounded like you did.
He's like, wait. He's like, wait a minute. Christmas is definitely on the
yeah,
same day.
Right.
So is New Year's. But, you know,
not
I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah, I don't know. For the last few years, maybe it changed. The wave has been in the news the last few days, not for all the best reasons, I guess. First, they fire their coach, Casey Stoney. Heard Jill Ellis interviewed about it. And, Jill, she's demanding a winner here in San Diego. I don't have any problem with that, right? And Casey Stoney went 7 games without a win. They aren't scoring goals. Sorry. But, moving on.
In our couple of encounters where I mean that was a thing that I kind of came away with is like Jill is not messing around, like she means business, like
right.
And so in some ways, if this is about that, it makes perfect sense. I mean, it also fits kind of the culture we are in now with all sports in terms of expectation and how long you have to keep things the way they need to be or the way they should be, and if you don't, there ain't a lot of room for maneuvering, if you will, to keep your spot.
And I mean, this isn't to say that this was one of the reasons, because I don't have any idea, but we also don't know what's happening away from the field. Maybe they didn't get along as well anymore, or maybe that had nothing to do with it. But either way, the Wave is still looking for a head coach.
When it's abrupt like that, it does leave the
room for... It makes you think that maybe there was something.
Exactly.
But, yeah, right. We don't know. Because they were in the semifinals last year, the Final Four. And this year they've struggled, and they've struggled offensively. And Jill Ellis wants some goals scored. So, you know, we'll see.
And they're extremely talented, too. So, I mean, maybe that's part of it, too. They got a lot of talent on that field.
But one of the reasons they're not scoring as many goals is because Alex Morgan has been hurt almost the entire year, and she hasn't scored any goals. And Alex is, you know, the drawing card. She has been the best player on this team, or the, you know, certainly in terms of offense for the first 2.5 years of the Wave's existence. And then we find out a day or two ago that Alex Morgan not going to be on the U.S. Olympic team for the first time. And I thought, well, not first time, but first time since she debuted on that team in 2012, which is just crazy to me, Tony, because when she debuted in 2012, that means kids that are 19 now were 7 then. And guess who they were watching? Alex Morgan. Now they're taking her spot on the Olympic team. And that's the way it all goes. Full circle.
I remember her first game as on the U.S. team. And I remember all the conversation behind it. She's backed all of it up. But this is kind of what happens sometimes in soccer. I mean, if you're injured and you can't, you know, go out and compete the way that you normally do, are capable of, you know, this can sometimes happen. She released a statement talking about her disappointment. But she has, you know, she hasn't been in form,
right?
At least what we've come accustomed to.
Yeah, she's not in her form,
and I think that, and it's because of the injuries, or because of, you know, she's been nicked up a lot this year. So, you know, that's kind of how it goes. And that U.S. women's roster is deep. I mean, they got a lot of. I mean, most of those girls, you know, you got Mallory Swanson, who wasn't able to play in last year's event because she tore her patella tendon. She's healthy. You got Trinity Rodman. You got Shaw from, you know, who plays for the Wave out here. You got, I'm missing one, Sophia Smith. I mean, they're all of that age that you're talking about that they probably saw her play when she was coming up. And now I don't want to say they're taken. He ultimately is left off the roster because those spots were taken.
Yeah, Jaden Shaw is the player you're referring to, 19 years old, plays for the Wave, and is going to be on the Olympic roster. Alex Morgan is going to be 35. Well, my so ancient 35. But in soccer years, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, and I mean, in athletic years, really.
That's right, athletic years, sure.
The body has to be, to play at the tip-top level, your body has to be able to endure it. And, you know, the older you get, the harder it becomes. Right. Just the way it is.
And I just thought of you when I saw this story, and because I thunk of you because your famous saying that, you know, Father Time is
Father
undefeated.
Time.
And I think that, you know,
except
along
LeBron
with the injuries,
James,
except for somehow LeBron James, right? But I think, you know, that injuries and, you know, it's just going to be weird to see that team and not, you know, have them talking all about Alex Morgan, because they've been doing it for well over a decade. So, all right, we'll take a quick timeout. When we return, Big Five. And don't forget, at 5 o'clock today, it is the weekly Padre Roundtable, an hour commercial-free.
I bet
Padre
this was a happy roundtable this week, War.
Yeah, and, you know, we just went back to the one we did 2 weeks ago when everyone was happy, and we avoided the one we did last week when everybody was really upset.
Touché.
Because that's been the roundtable. But, yeah, it's coming up at 5, so stick around. Big Five first, though.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, so we're just going to get through as many topics as we can today, and let's waste no time.
Number five.
And let's talk about the Padres All-Stars, because the finalists are here. Is that right, Chris?
They have just announced the finalists, yes,
okay,
in the voting.
My question to you guys, and Tony, you're up first, and then Chris will have to give us the results after he... Well, he already knows. Never mind. Which Padres should be on this All-Star team, Tony?
Which Padres should be on this All-Star team? Toddy. Profar. Arise. I'm missing one, I feel like.
Suarez.
Oh, yeah, Suarez. Those are the four.
All right, Chris?
Well, I think Suarez will be on for sure.
Profar has to be
I know
on
this
there.
Sounds crazy, but Matt Waldron...
You said who should be
yeah,
on, right?
Correct.
Okay. Matt Waldron deserves long shot consideration. I'm just throwing that in there. I know
not
he won't make
call.
It.
Not a bad call.
But I'm going to say Suarez, Profar for sure. The other two that Tony mentioned, I'm not as sure about, although I love Arise. He has been named one of the finalists at second base along with Ketel Marte. So it'll be one of those two guys for sure. Manny is a finalist at third base against Alex Bohm. Bohm is having a really big year. And Profar and Toddy are both finalists in the outfield with Christian Yelich, Teoscar Hernandez, Brandon Marsh, and Nick Castellanos.
We said who should be on.
Right. I'm giving you where they're at. I don't think the Padres are going to get more than three. I mean, four would be, you know, I'd feel nice about it, but, you know,
three's
you're only
lot.
Three games over 500. You know, let's.
Who are the three locks then?
I know. Well, Fernando's hurt.
The three locks
right?
are.
Does he? Does
think
that
the three locks
out,
should
or?
Be. The Suarez, Arise, Profar should be the three locks.
Okay.
Like, I could see the argument for not having Toddy because he's hurt, but... So then those three should be the three.
Yeah, Fernando Tatis, to us, is not having, you know, his greatest year, but...
He turned it on.
Having, I can yeah. put him on. I can put him pretty fairly up against Castellanos and Brandon Marsh.
For sure. I think he's
having a better year than them.
All
Castellanos
right.
in about 200, if that.
Well, no, he caught fire yeah, when the Padres
the
were the town.
Pool,
all right,
the,
he's at 220
outfield,
then.
The outfield pool got, you know, good because Harper's not an outfielder no more. Betts is not an outfielder anymore. Those were two pretty much locks, like, every year.
Good point.
Now they move off. It opens up the field a little bit.
That is true.
Interesting.
Anything else, guys, on this one? All right.
Negative.
Number four.
Kevin Acey broke down the Padres relievers in his newsletter this morning and wrote this. Since reaching a season-best 3.46 ERA collectively on May 28th, Padres relievers have a 5.52 ERA over the past 27 games, and it's not getting better. That mark is 6.23 over the past 12 games, and the bullpen has allowed at least one run in all 12 of those games and allowed at least three runs in 10 of them. Chris, you're up first.
Okay.
Out of the Padres relievers not named Robert Suarez,
okay.
who do you trust right now to get you through an important inning?
Estrada, number one.
All right.
Morejon, number two.
I flipped those.
Okay, go ahead.
He didn't ask you. You asked
That's
him.
That's true.
Those are my two you know, guys, and right now those are the seventh and eighth inning guys. You know, it's interesting. They've given up all these runs and had all these problems. They're winning all these games. So, you know, and the bullpen's gone streaky. I mean, it got off to a really, you know, bad start. Then it had a run there for a while, Tony, right? Where they went like 50 innings and gave up one run or something. So that could happen again. I think the key guys to get turned in the right direction, though, are, you know, Matsui, De Los Santos, and Wandy. You know, those three guys they've been a little bit more inconsistent. If we can get them consistent, the bullpen's going to be just fine.
Tony, out of all the relievers, not named Suarez. Go ahead.
I didn't read AC's whole article. I am assuming he brought up the fact that the Padres starters certainly didn't help the bullpen. Around that same time, after they put up those numbers, the starters
decided to go. Honestly, I'd have to go back and look again.
No, but he's Tony's right.
I'm pretty sure he probably highlighted that. I didn't read it.
But they've made it tough on the bullpen by not pitching very many innings.
True.
Right, and I'll go back to that road trip because I have it in front of me right now. Hold on, give me a sec. All right, this is the Mets road trip. Boom. Manaea, so Waldron went 7. That was the first day of that road trip. After that, Major went 3 2/3. Cease went 3 2/3. Vasquez went 4 1/3. King went 4 2/3. Waldron, 7.
So basically...
Major, 4 2/3.
Okay.
Cease, 4 2/3. King, 6. And then it starts to get better. This is, we got a good run here. C, 6. Waldron, 6. Major, 5. C, 7. But, so, and in that time span, right, in that four-game stretch as the Padres, four-game stretch the Padres had recently, starters went deeper, bullpen got better. And so, they're not having to cover as much. The bullpen has been streaky. Don't get me wrong. They have those three guys, particularly that Chris named, have been streaky. But I would venture to say, had it not been for the short starts, about 5 or 6 in a row there, that this bullpen would be have had a better run at it. They had to cover a lot of. And remember, they're in the midst of what, I think 26 and 27 days.
27, yeah.
So there was no off days in there. So you had to kind of. And I think under the circumstances of what they were dealing with, the bullpen held up pretty good.
Did I ask you,
but
Chris?
To answer your question, though, who do I trust the most?
Yes.
Yes, I had it actually in the exact same order Chris did.
Great minds think alike.
Number 3.
Ben had, yep, had a monster year, too.
Drill deep to left. For Judge. Yankees on the board. It's 7-2.
So we're going to get a lot of Michael Kay here in the next two topics, but that was Michael Kay calling Aaron Judge's 30th home run of the season, and he has ridiculous numbers after getting off to a very slow start. Right now, coming into today, he has a .309 batting average, which is 6th best in baseball. He's got 30 home runs, which is the best in baseball. He's got 77 RBIs, which is the best in baseball. He's also got a 1.145 OPS, the best in baseball. So, Chris, Tony, I'm sorry. What impresses you most about Aaron Judge?
He's this generation's version of what we saw in the 90s, right? A guy who can hit over 300, a guy who can hit you 40, a guy who can drive in over 100. He's not giving up anything in order to be, you know, a slugger. You know what I'm saying? This is a guy who's going to hit, you know, possibly another 70-some-plus homers again the way Pacey's on. Yet he still is a guy who can hit. And I think that's, you know, that's obviously an elite talent that is not on display a lot in our league. We used to see it a lot more, but I salute guys who can do it at this at that high a level in this league right now.
Yeah, Chris, what impresses you most about Aaron Judge?
The fact that he strikes out so many times, 88 in all this season, and yet, I mean, that's like 10th most in baseball. I mean, there's guys that have struck out more, but I mean, 88's a lot, and still hit over 300. That means he's hitting the ball hard where people aren't. And often where they aren't is over the fence. So, yeah, he's good. You know, I just thought that he had no chance to win the MVP award. Didn't they already give that to his teammate? That Juan Soto guy who he's 11 home runs and 20 RBIs ahead of right now. Judge has been really, really good. So, but the Yankees have been faltering, actually,
late. Yeah, they've, I think, are 2-8 in the last 10 or 3-7, one of those two.
One more thing about Aaron Judge. He's got 5 stolen bases, which would,
really,
he could end up in double figures there.
I would love to see Aaron Judge steal a base.
Duke can run. He's not slow by any stretch.
Yeah, he plays the outfield.
He's a terrific athlete.
Maybe we should have signed him a couple years ago when we had the chance.
When you hit over 300, you deserve. I don't even mention the strikeouts because that's
such
an elite clip at this point.
Yeah,
like he deserves worse not to me. I mean, he is fourth in the league he's fourth in the American League in batting average.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really good. We should have signed him when we had the chance. Oh, we never had the chance, but we...
Hey, he was here in town.
It was close.
Yeah. Number 3. All right, Yankees broadcaster Michael Kay took to his radio show to air some grievances about something his very own radio station did to him. And here's what he said. Just stick with it because it's a setup.
Right now might get me into some trouble.
Here we go.
I love when you start this way.
With who? I need to know who's going to get in trouble.
It could be my bosses.
Oh, cool.
It could be an advertiser. It could be the listening audience.
All right. Mm.
But, you know, we appreciate every single one of the people that spend their money to advertise on the show.
Yes.
And SNY is one of those people. Mm. So, you know, the game's on Yes tonight, and the game is on SNY. So the way it breaks down is Met fans usually watch on SNY, and Yankee fans will watch on Yes. But their ad, which ran during the last break, enjoy the Subway Series at the best booth in baseball. I mean, do you expect me to just take that line down? I think our booth is the best booth in baseball.
What do you want to say, Michael?
Well, I mean, but one of the hosts of the show is. You're going to put that, and I'm supposed to sit there and take it laying down? I'll take O'Neill and Cone and me over Garron and Keith. I would. I mean, they're great, but so is our booth. So, I mean, the way you want people to watch is to say, join the best booth in baseball.
There we go. You get the gist of it. One of my favorite comments is the first one. Sorry, Michael, saying what pitch just happened and sitting in silence for 20 seconds until the next pitch doesn't make you the best in baseball. Chris, you're up first on this one. And what was my question? Oh, does he have a right to be irked?
I guess. He sounds a little petty, though, to me.
I think that's just how he
from across the country.
Things.
He sounds a little petty. I mean, he's already, you know, about the most popular sports figure in the Big Apple. He's got his own radio talk show, and he's the voice of the Yankees. So, I don't know. He sounds a little insecure to me, and a little petty.
All right. Thank you for being honest.
I'm also going to go with the Mets over him because Keith Hernandez said the other day on a Juan Soto misplay, quote, and this is Mets announcer Keith Hernandez, quote, he's been a total liability out there. You wonder why they play him in the deepest corner outfield position in this ballpark. That's a fly ball that's got to be caught. That's Keith Hernandez about my friend Juan Soto. So I go with the Mets booth.
It's been a while since we've taken some Juan Soto.
Yeah, we
shots.
Haven't had a chance to do it lately.
Tony?
He's been wearing all the naysayers out all year. That's right.
We've had to be quiet.
Tony, what do you think?
I don't mind this at all. I don't think he was irked. I think he was partially joking about bringing up the two between the I mean, it's an obvious kind of rival there. Mets, Yankees, best booth. Of course he's going to feel some type of way when the Mets drop a line like come this and be entertained by the best booth in baseball. I'd feel some type of way too if I was in New York and on the other side. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was like, this guy has a good point.
I won't be surprised if there's some type of subliminal shot during the actual broadcast.
They had a rain delay yesterday, and Michael Kay tweeted out like a photo, and I think it said best rain delay in baseball or something like that. And then the SNY booth took a little shot at him, but it wasn't that great, so I didn't bring it to the show.
I say shut up and announce better, pal.
Oh my gosh. I can see Chris being so irked by
can
this.
Can I tell I'm not really a big Michael Kay fan.
I guarantee a rival station said something like that and Chris Cott win, he'd be all in his fields. 1,000%
I agree.
Sure.
I agree. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being in your field.
No, there's nothing wrong with it.
That's his turf. That show and the time
slot. I'm already secure enough to know that I'm the best. I don't need to hear it from somebody else.
All right. Well, that's it for the Big Five. We are coming to the end, and we don't have time to finish the topics.
I guess
I will say that the Cobb family, Randall Cobb and his family, they're lucky to be alive because they posted that their Tesla charger caught fire in the garage, and it quickly spread through their home. She said, "We got out of the house with nothing but the clothes on our back and no shoes on our feet." My question was, Tony, do you currently have a fire exit plan at home? Tony, still there? I don't know what happened.
He shorted out on the Tesla comment.
I don't know. Chris, do you have a fire exit plan?
I think now I'm going to get one.
Me too.
All right, stay tuned. We've got... And Tony, is he there to say goodbye to?
He just sat back down.
My doorbell rang, so I had to answer the door.
Oh, doorbell.
All right.
Fancy.
Just in time to wrap things up, Tony. Good talking to you. We'll talk to you briefly tomorrow before the ball game. Stay tuned. Padre Roundtable. Commercial-free hour of nothing but Padre talk is next on 97.3 The Fan.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, so we're just going to get through as many topics as we can today, and let's waste no time.
Number five.
And let's talk about the Padres All-Stars, because the finalists are here. Is that right, Chris?
They have just announced the finalists, yes,
okay,
in the voting.
My question to you guys, and Tony, you're up first, and then Chris will have to give us the results after he already knows, never mind. Which Padres should be on this All-Star team, Tony?
Which Padre should be on this all-star team? Toddy. Profar. Arise. I'm missing one, I feel like.
Suarez.
Suarez. Those are the four.
All right, Chris.
I think Suarez will be on for sure.
Profar has to be.
I know
on
this
there.
Sounds crazy, but Matt Waldron.
You said who should be.
Yeah,
on, right?
Correct.
Okay. Matt Waldron deserves long shot consideration. I'm just throwing that in there. I know
not
he won't make
call.
It.
Not a bad call.
But I'm going to say Suarez, Profar for sure. The other two that Tony mentioned, I'm not as sure about, although I love Arise. He has been named one of the finalists at second base along with Ketel Marte. So it'll be one of those two guys for sure. Manny is a finalist at third base against Alex Bohm. Bohm is having a really big year. And Profar and Toddy are both finalists in the outfield with Kristen Yelich, Teoscar Hernandez, Brandon Marsh, and Nick Castellanos.
We said who should be on.
Right. I'm giving you where they're at. I don't think the Padres are going to get more than three. I mean, four would be, you know, I'd feel nice about it, but, you know,
three's
you're only
a lot.
Three games over 500. You know, let's.
Who are the three locks then?
I know. Well, Fernando's hurt,
the three
right?
Locks are,
does he, does that
the
take
locks
him out?
Should be the Suarez, Arise, Profar should be the three locks.
Okay.
Like, I could see the argument for not having Toddy because he's hurt, but so then those three should be the three.
Yeah, guys. Fernando Tatis, to us, is not having, you know, his greatest year, but
he turned it on.
I can put him pretty fairly up against Castellanos and Brandon Marsh.
For sure.
He's having a better year than them.
All
Castellanos
right.
in about 200, if that.
Well, no, he caught fire when the Padres
were
in town.
Pool,
all right, he's at 220 then.
The outfield pool got, you know, good because Harper's not an outfielder no more. Betts is not an outfielder anymore. Those were two pretty much locks, like, every year.
Good point.
Now they move off. It opens up the field a little bit.
That is true.
Interesting.
Anything else, guys, on this one? All right.
Negative.
Number four.
Kevin Acey broke down the Padres relievers in his newsletter this morning and wrote this. Since reaching a season-best 3.46 ERA collectively on May 28th, Padres relievers have a 5.52 ERA over the past 27 games, and it's not getting better. That mark is 6.23 over the past 12 games, and the bullpen has allowed at least one run in all 12 of those games and allowed at least three runs in 10 of them. Okay, so Chris, you're up first.
Okay.
Out of the Padres relievers not named Robert Suarez, okay, who do you trust right now to get you through an important inning?
Estrada, number one.
All right.
Morejon, number two.
I flipped those.
Okay, go ahead.
He didn't ask you. You
that's
asked
true.
Him.
That's true.
Those are my two guys, and right now those are the seventh and eighth inning guys. You know, it's interesting. They've given up all these runs and had all these problems. They're winning all these games, so... You know, and the bullpen's gone streaky. I mean, it got off to a really, bad start. Then it had a run there for a while, Tony, right? Where they went like 50 innings and gave up one run or something. So that could happen again. I think the key guys to get turned in the right direction, though, are, Matsui, De Los Santos, and Wandy. Those three guys they've been a little bit more inconsistent. If we can get them consistent, the bullpen's going to be just fine.
Tony, out of all the relievers, not named Suarez. Go ahead.
I didn't read AC's whole article. I am assuming he brought up the fact that the Padres starters certainly didn't help the bullpen. Around that same time after they put up those numbers, the starters
decided
to go.
Honestly, I'd have to go back and look again.
No, but Tony's right.
I'm pretty sure he probably highlighted that. I didn't read it. But
yeah, but they've made it tough on the bullpen by not pitching very many innings.
True.
Right, and I'll go back to that road trip because I have it in front of me right now. Hold on, give me a sec. All right, this is the Mets road trip. Boom. Manaea, so Waldron went 7. That was the first day of that road trip. After that, Major went 3 2/3.
Mm.
Cease went 3 2/3. Vasquez went 4 1/3. King went 4 2/3. Waldron, 7.
Hmm. So basically...
Major, 4 2/3.
Okay.
Cease, 4 2/3. King, 6. And then it starts to get better. We got a good run here. Cease, 6. Waldron, 6. Major, 5. C7. But so and in that time span, right? In that four game stretch the Padres had recently. Starters went deeper, bullpen got better. And so they're not having to cover as much. The bullpen has been streaky, don't get me wrong. They have those three guys particularly that Chris named have been streaky. But I would venture to say had it not been for the short starts about 5 or 6 in a row there, that this bullpen would be have had a better run at it. They had to cover a lot of in. Remember, they're in the midst of what, I think 26 and 27 days.
27, yeah.
So there was no off days in there. So you had to kind of, and I think under the circumstances of what they were dealing with, the bullpen held up pretty good.
Did I ask you,
but
Chris?
To answer your question, though, who do I trust the most?
Yes.
Yes, I had it actually in the exact same order Chris did.
Great minds think alike.
Number three.
Ben had a monster year, too.
Drill deep to left. There it goes. See ya. 30th home run of the year for Judge. Yankees on the board. It's 7-2.
So we're going to get a lot of Michael Kay here in the next two topics, but that was Michael Kay calling Aaron Judge's 30th home run of the season, and he has ridiculous numbers after getting off to a very slow start. Right now, coming into today, he has a .309 batting average, which is 6th best in baseball. He's got 30 home runs, which is the best in baseball. He's got 77 RBIs, which is the best in baseball. He's also got a 1.145 OPS. The best in baseball. So, Chris, Tony, I'm sorry. What impresses you most about Aaron Judge?
He's this generation's version of what we saw in the 90s, right? A guy who can hit over 300, a guy who can hit you 40, a guy who can drive in over 100. He's not giving up anything in order to be, you know, a slugger. You know what I'm saying? This is a guy who's going to hit, you know, possibly another 70-some plus homers again the way Pacey's on. Yet he still is a guy who can hit. And I think that's, you know, that's obviously an elite talent that is not on display a lot in our league. We used to see it a lot more. But I salute guys who can do it at this at that high a level in this league right now.
Yeah, Chris, what impresses you most about Aaron Judge?
The fact that he strikes out so many times, 88 in all this season. And yet, I mean, that's like 10th most in baseball. I mean, there's guys that have struck out more, but I mean, 88's a lot. And still hit over 300. That means he's hitting the ball hard where people aren't. And often, where they aren't is over the fence. So, yeah, he's good. You know, I just thought that he had no chance to win the MVP award. Didn't they already give that to his teammate? That Juan Soto guy who he's 11 home runs and 20 RBIs ahead of right now. Judge has been really, really good. So, but the Yankees have been faltering, actually.
They have.
Late.
Yeah, I think you're 2-8 in the last 10 or 3-7, one of those two.
One more thing about Aaron Judge. He's got 5 stolen bases, which would.
Really?
He could end up in double figures there.
I would love to see Aaron Judge steal a base.
Duke can run. He's not slow by any stretch.
Yeah, he plays the outfield.
He's a terrific athlete.
Maybe we should have signed him a couple of years ago when we had the chance.
When you hit over 300, you deserve. I don't even mention the strikeouts because that's
you're right,
such
Tony.
An elite clip at this point.
Yeah,
like he deserves for us not to miss. I mean, he is fourth in the league he's fourth in the American League in batting average.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really good. We should have signed him when we had the chance. Oh, we never had the chance, but we...
Hey, he was here in
right,
town.
It was close.
Yeah. Number 3. All right, Yankees broadcaster Michael Kay took to his radio show to air some grievances about something his very own radio station did to him. And here's what he said. Just stick with it because it's a setup.
Right now might get me into some trouble.
Here we go.
I love when you start this way.
With who? I need to know who's going to get in trouble.
It could
with
be my bosses.
Oh, cool.
It could be an advertiser. It could be the listening audience.
All right. Mm.
But, you know, we appreciate every single one of the people that spend their money to advertise on the show.
Yes.
And SNY is one of those people. Mm. So, you know, the game's on Yes tonight, and the game is on SNY. So the way it breaks down is Met fans usually watch on SNY, and Yankee fans will watch on Yes. But their ad, which ran during the last break, enjoy the Subway Series at the best booth in baseball. I mean, do you expect me to just take that line down? I think our booth is the best booth in baseball.
What do you want the same?
Well, I mean, but you know who the host of the show is. One of the hosts of the show is. You're going to put that, and I'm supposed to sit there and take it laying down? I'll take O'Neill and Cone and me over Garron and Keith. I would. I mean, they're great, but so is our booth. So, I mean, the way you want people to watch is to say, join the best
right,
booth in
there
baseball.
There we go. You get the gist of it. One of my favorite comments is the first one. Sorry, Michael, saying what pitch just happened and sitting in silence for 20 seconds until the next pitch doesn't make you the best in baseball. Chris, you're up first on this one. And what was my question? Oh, does he have a right to be irked?
I guess. He sounds a little petty, though, to me.
I think that's just how he sounds. I think that's just how he
from across the country
things.
He sounds a little petty. I mean, he's already, you know, about the most popular sports figure in the Big Apple. He's got his own radio talk show, and he's the voice of the Yankees. So, I don't know. He sounds a little insecure to me and a little petty.
All right. Thank you for being honest.
I'm also going to go with the Mets over him because Keith Hernandez said the other day on a Juan Soto misplay, quote, and this is Mets announcer Keith Hernandez, quote, he's been a total liability out there. You wonder why they play him in the deepest corner outfield position in this ballpark. That's a fly ball that's got to be caught. That's Keith Hernandez about my friend Juan Soto. So I go with the Mets booth.
It's been a while since we've taken some Juan Soto
Yeah, we
shots.
Haven't had a chance to do it lately.
Tony.
He's been wearing all the naysayers out all year. That's right.
We've had to be quiet.
Tony, what do you think?
I don't mind this at all. I don't think he was irked. I think he was partially joking about bringing up the two between the I mean, it's an obvious kind of rival there. Mets, Yankees, best booth. Of course he's going to feel some type of way when the Mets drop a line like, come to be entertained by the best booth in baseball. I'd feel some type of way, too, if I was in New York and on the other side. But, okay.
Yeah, that's what I was like, this guy has a good point.
I won't be surprised if there's some type of subliminal shot during the actual broadcast.
There, they had a rain delay yesterday, and Michael Kay tweeted out like a photo, and I think it said best rain delay in baseball or something like that. And then the SNY booth took a little shot at him, but it wasn't that great, so I didn't bring it to the show.
I say shut up and announce better, pal.
Oh my gosh. I can see Chris being so irked by
this. Can I tell I'm not really a big Michael Kay fan. I guarantee
if a rival station said something like that and Chris caught wind, he'd be all in his feels. 1,000%
sure. I agree. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being in your feels.
No, there's nothing wrong with it.
That's his turf. That show and that time
slot. I'm already secure enough to know that I'm the best. I don't need to hear it from somebody else.
All right. Well, that's it for the Big Five. We are coming to the end, and we don't have time to finish the topics.
I guess
I will say that the Cobb family, Randall Cobb and his family, they're lucky to be alive because they posted that their Tesla charger caught fire in the garage, and it quickly spread through their home. She said, "We got out of the house with nothing but the clothes on our back and no shoes on our feet." My question was, Tony, do you currently have a fire exit plan at home? Tony, still there? I don't know what happened.
Are you shorted out on the Tesla comment?
I don't know. Chris, do you have a fire exit plan?
I think now I'm going to get one.
Me too.
All right, stay tuned. We've got... Tony, is he there to say goodbye to?
No, he just sat back down.
My doorbell rang, so I had to answer the door.
Oh, doorbell. Oh, all right. Fancy.
Just in time to wrap things up, Tony. Good talking to you. We'll talk to you briefly tomorrow before the ball game. Stay tuned. Padre Roundtable. Commercial-free hour of nothing but Padre talk is next on 97.3 The Fan.